Have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Have you noticed that there's a lot of pressure on our lives today? Different influences to accept things, to do things, or to be politically correct? That's the term that's used sometimes today. You don't want to say the wrong word. You'll offend this group or that group, so you have to be careful. Or we have to treat everybody equal, and there's just a lot of pressure on us that, sometimes I talk about 50, 60, 70 years ago, people didn't have some of the pressures on it. Things weren't out in the open, and they weren't there. Today, we live in a different time when there's a lot of pressures out there. We're going to talk about in chapter 10, God gives us a chance to go back and look at some examples. You know, I'm glad we've got some great examples in the Bible. There's some great examples of godly men and women that did it right and trusted God. But guys, there's also some examples of doing it wrong. And we're supposed to learn from them. I'm glad it wasn't just all positive things in the Scripture, that it also lets us know there's other people had pressures in their lives, and some of them gave into those pressures and didn't always listen to the Lord like they ought to. And so as we look at this, it culminates with a verse that most of you know, where it talks about there's no temptation that comes in our life that will overpower us, that God won't give us a way to get through it. All right, that's what it culminates to, and it'd be great just to talk about that, but actually there's a number of verses that kind of go with that in context. And he begins to talk about some of the different things that happened in the Old Testament, and a number of things together, by the way. Notice we begin reading in verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, isn't that interesting? How Paul ties not just the Old Testament stories together, but he also tells us that it was Jesus very much there with them as well as they were traveling through the wilderness in the Old Testament. And he kind of ties that together. And notice he goes, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Is it possible to be angry with someone and still love them? Josiah, I have to tell you, I was thinking about that same illustration, not you specifically, but my kids. There are times I've been angry at Mike, still get angry at him, by the way, get angry at my kids. I love them. Wouldn't stop me from loving them, but I'll still be angry at them sometimes. Well, Israel had a relationship with God, but it doesn't mean they did everything right and correct. In fact, they gave into a lot of things they shouldn't have and ended up doing the wrong thing. God was very angry with them. In fact, he left them scattered in the wilderness, lots of them. In fact, everybody that was 20 years old and old when they started, he left in the wilderness. Didn't get to see the promised land because of their disobedience. And in the next few verses, he's going to do some specific things that he's going to talk about and what happened. Notice, if you will, verse 6. "Now these things become an example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become adulterers as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play." Do you remember a statement like that in the Old Testament? Do what? No, actually it was a time when Israel was there at Mount Sinai. Moses had went up to get the Ten Commandments, only he was there for about 40 days. All the lightning and the thundering and the clouds and the earthquake was all right there happening on the mountain. And the children of Israel were down over on this side with Aaron, watching what was taking place. And 40 days later, they're going, you know what? I think he must have died. I don't think he's coming back. Let me read the scriptures for you. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, by the way, that's a euphemism. They were having a sex orgy right there. That's what he's talking about. Because in the worship of many idols, they actually had temple prostitutes. They were actually a part of that. It was a part of that worship. And Israel had saw that from the Egyptians and had learned about it. Now thinking that God's not there, now thinking that Moses is not there, we'll make our own God. Now, isn't it amazing, you know, when Aaron got confronted by God and said, "How did they get this golden calf?" You know what he said? "We just threw it in the fire and it popped out." Aaron wouldn't lie a bit. I know he wouldn't, would he? You ever notice that when we get caught in our sin, we blame somebody else? Well, what took place? It said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt."'" Wow. Now, guys, Aaron was right there the whole time with Moses. In fact, Aaron was the spokesperson to begin with. Moses had told God, "I can't speak out loud. I can't speak to people like that. You got to send somebody else." And God said to Moses, "Here comes your brother. He'll talk." So he was there at the very beginning. And he was there for every one of the plagues that happened to Israel. He saw everything that took place. He was right there with his brother. He was right there till they made it to Mount Sinai and saw all the miracles that God had done. But because Moses was gone for 40 days, how soon they turned away from God. All right, let's go on. I wish I could tell you that was the only instance, but unfortunately there's more. Verse 8 says, "Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell." Wow. Now, what's that talking about? Well, that's found in Numbers 25:1. Let me read a little bit to you first. It says, "Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifice to their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was roused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel.' So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Every one of you kill the men who were joined to Baal of Pori." And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he arose from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the men of Israel to the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. Again, they were using sexual relationships outside the context of marriage, also while worshiping an idol. And you're going, how could they do that? Well, we're not stopping yet. Let's go on. Let's read a little bit farther. Beginning in, what, verse 9? Let me find. All right. "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and was destroyed by serpents." Now, what's he talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died." Now this time, they were complaining against God's provision. Israel always looked back at Egypt. Have you ever turned back and looked back at your life before you got saved? You know, it's amazing that most of us don't remember the bad times. I've had a chance to look back sometimes and go, you know, back then when I went to the dance hall and did a little two-step in there. My wife's choking for some reason. I don't know what it is. I didn't say when we went to the bar and did the Texas two-step. I said me. But she was there. I don't remember the next day when I had the hangover, or the night when I got sick, and how bad that felt. I was just thinking of the good times. Israel's not thinking back to the times they were beaten or made and forced to make bricks and then forced to go cut the grass to put into the bricks to fortify them. They remember the flesh pots. Oh, when we had the food, the meat, the fish, the leeks, the onions. Oh, if we were just back in Egypt, chained, working. See, they didn't remember the bad times, they remember the good times. We look back sometimes and say, well, you know, it wasn't that bad before I come to know the Lord. Things were working out okay. We don't remember the bad times. Neither did they. They were complaining against the provisions of God. Well, I would like to say they stopped, but they didn't. There's some more, okay? All right, verse 10 says, "Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now, all these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. In other words, he said these things in the Old Testament were written for us to learn not to make the same mistakes that they made. What mistakes was that? Well, they were idol worshipers, sexual immorality. They had complaining against God's provision, complained about God's leadership. Get Moses away from us. Guys, if you've ever studied about the life of Moses, if it wasn't for Moses, God wanted to destroy Israel a number of times. And Moses and even Aaron gets in there and pleads for the life of Israel, intercedes for them. Let's get rid of the leadership. Let's go back to Egypt. Committee. They must have been Baptists because they wanted to make a committee. Now, guys, did you notice how this started a while ago? It talked about in verse 6, "Now these things become our example to the intent that we should not we should not wander or lust after evil things. We have a lot of influence in our lives to do things that are wrong today. There's a lot of pressures out there. Because what used to be wrong is now called okay. Hello? I mean, we live in a different time. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't change. His standard back then is still His standard today. Just because the world says it's okay, just because the world says there's no problem with this, doesn't mean God appreciates it. I'm going to tell you guys, God gets angry at His children. Doesn't mean He doesn't love us, but He gets angry at some of the things that we do, especially when we act like Israel. Now, it's like Israel got just as close to the edge as they could get and still stayed His people. How many bad things can we do and get away with it? Guys, what He's referring to in a lot of things, we're talking about thousands of people dying at one time. The time He sent the snakes and they were biting people, they were dying. They cried out, "We've sinned! Pray for us, Moses!" Guys, God feels that way in our lives when we get out of line with Him today. But I want you to see something, because this all goes into a certain direction, and I want you to see where it's going to go. Notice verse 12. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." What he's saying in that is be very careful. Don't think you're doing this and getting away with it and God doesn't know, because He does. Be very careful. But I want you to notice the next part. Mr. Ellis, we talked about God being a great creator today. And therefore, because He's a great creator, we know He's a powerful God. He is able to do anything that we ask Him. That kind of goes along with this next part. "No temptation has overtaken you except is such as common to man." Do you ever face temptation? Is it hard to fight that temptation sometimes? I have the same problem, guys. Come on. Temptations can be very serious today. It's almost like there's a magnet drawing us. But notice what He says. He said, "No temptation has overtaken you except is common to man." I want you to understand something. No matter what you're going through, somebody else has already went through it. You're not by yourself. You're not the only one. Guys, one of the things that I found out years ago when I started an overcomers class in our church, in my second church, I found out that a lot of Christians have life-controlling problems and think they're the only ones. I didn't have people come from the outside to my overcomers. I had Christians coming to the overcomers who had life-controlling problems, but they thought they were the only ones. So if they were the only one, they weren't going to tell everybody else they had a problem. "Oh, by the way, I went out and got drunk last night. How about you?" Don't talk about those things like that. And so they didn't share their needs or their prayer things that needed in their life. They kept it to themselves until we opened up a group where they felt comfortable enough to come in and begin to share what they were going through. Guys, Christians can get in trouble. All right, that's what he's saying. There is nothing that we face that others hadn't faced before. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man." I like this next part. I'm going to have to underline that. Not that I have to be reminded too much, but God is faithful. God is faithful. "Miss D, I heard what you did." Oh, no, it's good. In her class, the teacher asked to take something out of your purse or your persons that would speak about who you really are. and she realized she didn't have her Bible on her. That would have been the first thing that she took out, right? If she'd have had it. Well, she didn't have that. But she had contact solution. Now you're going, how does contact solution tell us who D is? What did you say?
Well, on the bottle it said clear eyes, and it reminded me of Matthew 6:22 about having clear eyes and keeping your eyes on positive things. So that's what I explained to the class.
She was able to almost do the plan of salvation through a bottle of clear eyes. That's faithfulness, isn't it? Got to be honest with you, D. I don't know that I'd have done that. Really, I'm telling you. That'd have been tough. I'm glad you did it. That's the reason I'm sharing that with other people. They're going to be praying for you. They're glad you've done it too. But guys, there's never a question with God. Is he faithful? Will he work? Guys, he's always faithful. Isn't that great? He is always faithful. He'll never let you down. And I got to tell you guys, I'll let you down someday. I will. I'll lose my temper. What are you smiling at? He knows me pretty good, doesn't he? But our God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you were able. Now, I've heard people kind of say it in a different way. He'll never put more on us than we can handle. That's not exactly what that says. Notice if you read the whole thing. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but there's something that goes with that that you got to add in there. With the temptation will also make a way of an escape. Sometimes today we have a lot of things the government presses old folks into. One of those things is it presses them into living together. Because they'll cut off the Social Security of one to the other if they get married. Did you know that? It causes a lot of our older folks to do something they don't want to do. And that is get live together without that, having the Lord's hand of blessing on it. And that creates a problem because people try to figure out, well, how can we live? I don't make enough for one person to live off of. How could two of us live off of that? You know? And that's the pressures. But guys, if you believe God created everything, and you believe he's all-powerful and almighty, God can solve any problem that you face. And that's what he's saying. Guys, we all face temptations, and some's going to get worse and worse as we go. We had a church just recently that was sort of Southern Baptist, and the reason I say it was sort of Southern Baptist, it was in the liberal side. There's a group of Southern Baptists that never broke off from the Southern Baptist Convention that practice what they practice. Well, one of our churches, I think, was in the process of ordaining homosexuality, somebody in that lifestyle. Did you know most of our mainline denominations accept that as okay today? And it is the pressure of the world that's upon that. Guys, we're not to be mean to anybody. We're to love everybody. But we can't say and call something right that's wrong. Yes, sir. That did happen in our county, Mr. Ellis, as well. But the way they did it was, yes, we'll give you a marriage license, but no, we won't marry you. That's what they won't marry anybody. That way they didn't pick out one group or the other. They're just not going to marry any, because many of them were Christians that work in the courthouse and giving out things like that. So it's tough. We live in a different time today. A lot of pressures. But guys, I really feel in this passage of Scripture that God said, listen, trust me, and I'll give you a way of escaping all of that. I'll give you a way not to give in to the pressures of the world and do something wrong. And guys, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of pressure out there. I've had people, we even had a group in my first and my second church, that was a problem they were at. Both of them were disabled, and they weren't very old. They were younger folks. She was blind, and bless his heart, he was just a huge guy that, you know, just had a hard time getting around. Legs couldn't take all that weight, and they didn't think that they could get married. They couldn't afford it because it would cut out one of their things, and you had to share with them. Guys, do you trust the Lord? Will he get you through this if you do it the right way? And that's a lot of things that we face today, guys. We face a lot of these temptations. I want you to know something. As it says, you're not the only one that faces that. Second of all, he's given us a way to escape, whatever that temptation might be. I think of Joseph. So many times Joseph was tempted to do what was wrong. It was right there. I believe the enemy was there trying to get him to go in the wrong direction every time. And even though he did the right thing, he got accused for doing the wrong thing. Guys, God is still the same today, yesterday, and forever. His standard is still the same. He still cares about us, and he wants the very best for us. And he said, listen, I love you so much, I'm still faithful in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the temptation, no matter what the problem, I am still faithful. I'm here. I know what you're going through. I know how severe it is, and I'll help you through it. But do it the right way. Do it the right way, and trust me. Let's bow our heads. Father, we do live in a world of temptation. We live in a world that is putting lots of pressures on our lives today. They want us to give in. They want us to accept. They want us to do whatever the world's doing. And they tell us the times have changed, which implies that God has changed with the times. But Father, your word is still the same. It doesn't change. In fact, one of your characteristics is that you're unchanging. What you were thousands of years ago, you still are today, and you will be in the future. Your morals, your standards are still what they used to be. Father, may we realize there is a right way to do things and a wrong way. Father, you honor the right way, but you won't bless the wrong way. Lord, help us to realize you're always faithful. That when we go through a hard time, we don't have to look around and say, where is God in all of this? We can know that you're right there with us, no matter how difficult it is. And Father, we also need to realize even when it doesn't seem to be all that difficult, you're there, because you're there all the time. And Father, if we believe your word, it tells us that we can trust you no matter what it is. Thank you for being that God. Help us to be faithful to you. Lord, on this weekend where many people are traveling and going different places, being with their family and just kind of enjoying the last maybe of the summer coming up, Father, we just pray that you'll keep them safe as they're traveling. Father, pray for Deb and I as we travel in a few days that you would keep us safe too. Lord, no matter what, may we always keep our eyes upon you and look to you. Father, maybe there's someone here this morning who's never trusted you as Lord and Savior. Lord, just a moment, Miss Debbie's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. I'm going to be standing down front to receive anybody. I can sit down and show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. Maybe that temptation just seems really hard you're going through right now, and you want somebody to pray with you. You don't have to share what that temptation is. Anybody in here will go up to the front and pray with you. Thank you, Father, for being faithful. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.